You're listening to WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro 103.5. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Here's a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily and usually represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. And now today's program. My guests today are corporate attorney Benji Taylor-Jones joining us on the phone and Conchetta Rand, CRO of iFund Women. Now, Benji's been a guest on the program before, but let me refresh your memory by sharing her bio. Benji joined the Raleigh office of Warden Smith in 2017. She is a trusted counselor to numerous private and public companies in a variety of corporate and securities laws matters. For nearly two decades, she also specializes in crowdfunding and fintech financings, and she played an important role in the passage of North Carolina's Intrastate Crowdfunding Exemption, the NC PACES Act. She represented the only platform offering peer-to-peer real estate loans under Regulation A, and the first North Carolina company to conduct a regulation crowdfunding campaign under Title III of the Jobs Act. Benji is on the forefront of crowdfunding offerings in North Carolina, and she has introduced me to our second guest, Conchetta. And Conchetta is a new guest here on the program, and she has an extensive background as a growth-oriented strategic marketer. She has held positions with global brands, including American Express and Google. As CRO for iFund Women, she oversees revenue management, marketing, and analytics. She's passionate about entrepreneurship and is committed to supporting and scaling iFund Women's vision and mission to close the funding gap and the confidence gap for women entrepreneurs. And you can follow her and them at iFundWomen on Facebook at facebook.com/iFundWomen, and their website is iFundWomen.com. Ladies, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so
thanks
much
for having us.
So let's give the audience a little bit of background on what non-regulation crowdfunding is. They're probably thinking of Faith Launcher, of all the different ones that are out there. So kind of give us the landscape, Benji, of what non-regulation crowdfunding is, and then we're going to introduce iFund Women, and we'll talk specifically about it today.
Sure, thanks. So, and thank you for having me on the show again. I'm looking forward to talking today. So non-investment crowdfunding is donations and contributions and product pre-sales. This is what we've known for a long time that we can access on sites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo or GoFundMe. Those are kind of some of the institutional dinosaurs out there for this path. And iFund Women is another option, and it's kind of different and kind of unique, and I think pretty special, which is why I'm here and bringing Conchetta and iFund Women to introduce to our listeners.
So Conchetta, iFund Women, you're passionate about women entrepreneurs. I'm in that segment. I'm always serving women entrepreneurs and men entrepreneurs. But there is a gap in capitalization, in access to capital, and in the confidence of pricing our companies and our offerings out there. And so that's what iFund Women has come into being for, correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And thank you so much, Leah, for having us here today. iFund Women is, our mission is to close the funding and the confidence gap for female entrepreneurs. And when we look at the three barriers that hold back female entrepreneurship from really having an equal seat at the table, it's three things. It's access to capital, it's availability of coaches and mentors, and it's success stories. And we believe that iFund Women addresses each of these in an integrated ecosystem. So through rewards-based crowdfunding, as Benji mentioned, you are not giving away equity in your company. You're not taking on debt. We are putting money into the hands of female entrepreneurs faster through crowdfunding campaigns. We offer coaching services to help women think strategically about how to manage their campaign, how to go to market, how to plan their reward strategy. Crowdfunding is still relatively new, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about it, and there's a lot of people who just don't know how to do it well. So we offer services to do that. We also have a very, very vibrant Slack community of entrepreneurs, both those actively crowdfunding and alumni who are sharing what works. So we believe in peer coaching as a very powerful tool as well. And then three, success stories. If you can't see it, you can't believe you can become it. And so we want to evangelize what these women are doing, these founding teams and these entrepreneurs. So we tell those stories often, and we'll be excited to talk about some of them with you today.
So we were talking before we came on the air. iFundWomen launched in November of 2016. So you're still in your infancy. You're in that, you know, finding your path ahead and finding your customers. You launched here in the Triangle area earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And so you're wanting to build a community here in Raleigh of people raising funds, supporting the initiative, and those kind of things. And so is all of that on the iFundWomen.com website?
Great question. So the Raleigh-specific information, everyone can find it at beta.ifundwomen.com/Raleigh. We are an open platform in 25 countries, but we believe very much in the power of local cohorts. And so we have targeted select markets. We go where the entrepreneurs are, and we believe in putting together cohorts of female-led companies to activate crowdfunding campaigns at the same time. And so we launched in the Triangle earlier this summer, and we are launching the actual dedicated page later in September. September 19th is the target date for that. So there's still an opportunity to be a part of that launch cohort, and we would absolutely encourage companies to apply.
So when we think of the different, the Indiegogo, the Kickstarter, those are a mix of for-profits that are in different stages, different mm-hmm. industries. And then when we look to the other side of GoFundMe, we're looking at nonprofits and individuals trying to, so all of that is on the site.
Yes. So we are a for-profit company. We are accepting nonprofits and as well as for-profit companies to crowdfund. It's a really interesting space because I'll be honest. Companies don't necessarily think of crowdfunding as something that applies to them. And we are seeing every day entrepreneurs at every stage of their life cycle, ideation, seed stage, all the way through to growth and scaling across a myriad of industries, from business services to consumer products to film, all of them finding ways to make crowdfunding work for them. It's about the money, but it's also about demand gen, lead generation, awareness. And so we're very excited to see the breadth and depth of companies that have come to our site.
Well, and I know Benji was mentioning, and you mentioned before we went on air, is that her daughter has a film that you're developing. And so it's a mother-daughter team. Mm-hmm. Benji, you're on there raising funds on iFundWomen for your daughter's film project, correct?
Yes, we are. We are in our incognito phase, which means you can't, like, find it directly on the screen because I'm still trying to put things together. But we are actively raising money already. And we're doing great.
Well, and I think that lets our listeners know. I mean, it really is a broad range. And your daughter is not in college, is she, Benji? She's in middle school.
She's 12. So she's 12 years old, and she's written a little short comedic film with her acting coach about what a sixth grader might be interested in learning about as she grows up and becomes a tween. It's called The Birds and the Bees, and it's a cute little film, and we're raising $6,000 so that we can get it produced in a really meaningful way.
Well, and again, this is something that the young, I mean, we've done fundraising events in the traditional sense here in the area where we've had 10-year-old entrepreneurs there, and I ended up coaching both of those groups. And it's just so fun now to think crowdfunding can, there are no limits because kids are not afraid to put it out there. And I think that's what holds a lot of us back, whether male or female, but I think more so, and I say this to the women all the time, is like, if you think you can't do it, you're right because you're not going to do it. You just get out there, you learn from it, you do different iterations, you go for a smaller amount, you know, you're getting training wheels, but that's there, your services are there to coach them through it. You got a 20-minute call. You said each company, each organization gets that 20-minute phone call. And so what does that 20-minute phone call feel like? If I called you and said, okay, I want to raise funds for women veterans initiatives in North Carolina. What would that 20-minute phone call be like?
Sure, absolutely. So first, let me just say we are so excited to have Benji and Audrey's campaign on our site. The Birds and the Bees is absolutely amazing. And as a vehicle, I think, to your point, Leah, crowdfunding is so exciting for young entrepreneurs. It's a path to market that didn't exist when I was growing up. And it's real-world market validation. So we're very excited for everyone to go and check out what they're doing, as well as the other entrepreneurs in the area. When it comes to the coaching call, it's interesting to hear what you're saying and hearing from the entrepreneurs you speak with, because we hear a very similar thing. We talk a lot about perfect is the enemy of done, and
right.
We talk about it for ourselves as well as for the entrepreneurs we work with. So when it comes to the coaching call, it always starts with us asking to hear, what's your business pitch? Like, tell me about your business. What are you looking to do, and why would I be interested in your company? And then oftentimes, after we hear the pitch, we basically open it up to understand, what are the questions you have about rewards-based crowdfunding? How do you think about it? And it becomes really an overview of the process, end-to-end, what to expect, what are some myths that people have. We often speak to people who've done campaigns before, and so they know firsthand what to expect. And sometimes, also we'll talk with people who are doing it for the first time, and that becomes the education piece, and we try and come together to really net down on what it would take for them to get a campaign live. We move pretty quick, and we encourage our entrepreneurs to do it as well, because you have this very precious thing as an entrepreneur, and the instinct a lot of times can be to hold back until it's absolutely perfect, and then you can show it to the world.
It never comes out absolutely perfect. It will never be perfect.
It will never be perfect, and that's what we say all the time. You have to take that leap. We'll talk to women who say, I'm still not sure what my value prop is, and we're basically trying to work with them to view crowdfunding as a vehicle to get that market validation, to identify target customer segments, and really leverage that crowdfunding as a four-week vehicle to drive a whole bunch of learnings in addition to revenue for the business.
Well, and when we think about this, because Benji, we've talked about it on the regulation crowdfunding side, that you need an audience, you need connections, you need some social media, you need a platform, you need that connectivity, that spider web, that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type thing.
Right.
And so how is it if someone comes in, they haven't shared the idea, they're really in just the ideation stage, they have no community, they haven't been on there on the web, how do they even contemplate getting started and then move quickly and then do this for 4 weeks?
Sure. Great question. So we think of, we do a lot of coaching ourselves, but we also want to put out that education, that information on our site so anyone can come and download it and learn themselves what it's going to take to get started. So we call it homework before the call. If you go to ifundwomen.com, in the top nav, you'll see our campaign guide. This is that handbook that you want to use to think through all of the angles. Your video pitch, which, by the way, becomes your revamped elevator script. You want to think through your network and your outreach strategy, how to build your list, how to go to market smartly. And within that, there's our proprietary IP. It's our coach's playbook. And that is a document that will map out for everyone what their reward strategy looks like, what their campaign page is, the margin on the rewards that they're offering, and the network size that they're working with, to help get to a goal that is realistic and achievable. Because we want everyone set up for success. And we find that with crowdfunding, you really want to take a data-based approach and reverse engineer it to say, how am I going to get to this goal? What can I actually hit, so that momentum for the campaign is working for you? And to your point, how do you get...
Conchetta, let me jump in real quick and plug that tool. That tool was incredibly helpful to use for me. Getting that tool before I had the coaching call just made my coaching call go so much better, because I had already started thinking about the questions I needed to answer and put things together. I can't really tell folks enough how great that little piece of tool is, because it really got me prepared to launch our campaign in a really meaningful way and real efficient. It was great.
Well, and that's that validation, because Benji has a lot of background in crowdfunding, but it changes when it's your project, because it's like physician heal, right? Physician heal thyself, because as a consultant, when you sit down to do your things, it's so obvious when you're doing the clients and you're pushing them and stuff, and you sit down and you're just like, well, you know, I want this perfect, or wait a minute, that didn't come out, or we need to change the sound. And you start everything that you can do objectively for your clients. It's hard to follow that checklist for yourself and hold yourself that accountable and not fall into the legal aspect of it or the accountant aspect or whatever that is. And so having a guide that's robust, that can keep us on track, that can give us that framework to make every effort, even though you know you're going to use the coaching call and you may be paying for services because you guys offer those, and that will speed the process. It's all a function of time and money in any of this when we're raising funds. But if you give yourself that pre-education, you give those tools, ask yourself those questions, and if you really don't know the answer to one of those questions, that coaching call and then those services can help you be the physician healing yourself.
Absolutely. It's amazing to us. We have women come on the site, they download the handbook, they get on the phone with us, and their campaign is 90% of the way there because they've taken the time to reflect on it. And I always tell people, you know, set a timer. Do like 2 30-minute stints and just get down your, you know, your first draft of ideas, and then we can react to it together. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's you are miles ahead if you've taken that first step.
Well, I know, and it's like when you're doing your video on the clients, he was doing his project, and getting the right person to do your video cannot be overemphasized, because suddenly their face is pointing out, you know, out to the side, and I'm like, who in the heck are you talking to in this video? I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's not looking at the camera. It's like you're having a conversation with someone, and it's like, no, you need to be connecting with the person that's on the other side of the screen. And he's like, I said, I don't care how creative that guy was. I don't care. You flew him in from Canada. Get your money back, because that is not the direction, and it did not connect. I mean, it was just so, all at once they're looking off screen, and I'm like, what the heck are you thinking about?
Right.
This is, you need to connect.
Absolutely.
And so it's validating those resources. It's getting people that are in your target market for this to look at and say, well, I didn't understand that, or that looks kind of funny when you're looking over here, or your hair is sticking out, that's distracting. You know, I mean, it's all of those different things.
Absolutely. And we share, you know, our creative director, Sarah Summers, is absolutely amazing. Our team has tremendous expertise in video production, and we share our tips for how to tell your story on our blog, on our site, in our campaign guide, because we want everyone set up for success. And we're able to do remote video production where you would never know we weren't in the room with you shooting that video and telling the story, because we've done more than 50 of these campaign videos. We know how to tell the story. We know what works. And to your point, you have to connect, Leah. You have to make that connection to really drive home what you're building.
And God bless that client. And if he's listening right now, you know who you are, and you're going to call me afterwards. But the tendency to want to use traditional marketing firms, traditional things, to apply it then to something that is non-traditional, that is viral, mm-hmm. that should be connecting. It doesn't work when you plug in a traditional old marketing firm, old marketing style, old video production, or, you know, like you're going to produce it for TV. This is not what that is.
Correct.
Right? And making that leap mm-hmm. and saying, well, I couldn't put that on TV. Well, no, it's not for TV. and not overspending to raise. He spent $50,000 in marketing. Yeah, she's dying.
Oh my God.
The expression on her face. But it was because he wanted, you know, the marketing, local marketing friends trying, well, we do this, and, you know, you do this, and it was $6,000 for a video. I was like, no.
Oh, my gosh. No. Okay.
And then there was no way to raise enough funds from the campaign to cover the marketing, because he was only trying to raise $50,000. He needed $100,000 to even get to that point. And so it's those lessons, the success stories, the pitfalls, that if you can see those, this is what worked for me, this is not what worked.
Exactly.
And when we see it as another woman sitting there telling the story versus what the guys did,
mm-hmm.
that really has an impact for the clients.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a lot of best practices that can be taken from traditional marketing and applied to crowdfunding. You know, it's segmenting your audience. Your
yes.
reward strategy is really no different than thinking across your target.
But you're not going to do a 60-minute video.
No. You are not. You absolutely are not doing a 60-minute video. You are telling your story in a very simple framework. Who are you? What's the problem you're trying to solve? What's your domain expertise? Why are you the person to bring this to life?
Why do I care?
Exactly.
Right? Why my money for your project?
Exactly. And what is the money going towards, and what are the perks and rewards available to me as a backer? You're bringing people into that process and that story, and hooking them with either the problem that you're solving or the passion that you have for it, or a combination of that and the rewards, to really drive home, you know, why their support is so vital and the difference that it will make.
And Bindi, when you were working with your daughter, she's 12, she's creative, she's got this passion for what she wants this, she's written it, so she's this creative person. What was the biggest challenge? Was it in reining in the content, or was it in, you know, because when I'm working with those 10-year-olds, it was wide open and everything should have happened yesterday. And so what were the challenges in translating that for her as a 12-year-old female entrepreneur, creative female entrepreneur, and then putting that structure around to the things that had to get done versus the things that might be more fun to do?
Just making sure that we are on the same page and communicating with each other about what's a good idea, working through the craziness to come down to a structure. And again, I think, not to hammer a point, the tool book was really helpful with that, because it helped us kind of go through the things we needed to do in an orderly fashion. So it gave me a path to keep her on, and then let me pull her back to a place that wasn't mommy telling her what needed to be done. It was, these are the things we need to do. Let's get them done and talk through how well it works. We still have work to do. So we have we have our campaign page that's pretty much up and ready, and we're raising funds, but we haven't really started our true launch yet. So once we launch, we're going to have daily things we have to do. Like, Conchetta and I even talked about today about whether or not I wanted to launch, and I was like, I'm not ready. I don't have time to launch today, because you have things you still need to do to create your buzz, to keep the momentum of the interest in your platform going, that require just in-live conversations and
right.
social media posts and getting the word out. So it's not a you do it and it's done. Crowdfunding your campaign lasts from the day you decide to do it and start coming up with the idea until you take your last subscription and repay all of those perks, or yeah. if we're in the investment world, repay the money. So we'll be working with this campaign, we'll hopefully be fully funded by October. We'll film the film in October as well, and then we're going to start fulfilling perks, because we get to send out digital copies and we get to send
right.
out social media thanks and all these kinds of things. So it's a great process, in my opinion, for a 12-year-old to understand kind of the nuts and bolts of conducting a business in a small scale before she goes out there and tries to do it by herself, for real.
Well,
so it's a great opportunity.
It's not a self-driving car. I mean, it's not like you build the car. And that's what a lot of the clients just like, well, we're going to launch the campaign and I'll just step back. I was like, no, there's the pre-campaign. We got to plan it. We got to find your audience. We've got to segment this. We've got to put your videos together. We've got to do all of these elements. And then during the campaign, you're going to be monitoring. You're responding to questions. You're going to be doing this. You might need to clarify something. You need to see how things are moving. You need to, I said, it's not a self-driving electric car. You're gonna fuel it. You've got to be there and you've got to be present
yes.
to keep things on track. And the 12-year-old entrepreneur, there is not a lot of difference, I would say, between my high maintenance technology spin out professors and all those kind of things, because they're not in the business world when they're coming out of research. They're in that technology. They're in that, and everybody should obviously see why they need the money. And so there are those parameters in that structure, and having that guide to say, read this, look at this, this mm-hmm. is the formula,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That reining them in, controlling them, and in my case, it's like, well, it's just leasing to do it. It's like, no, leasing to do it, because there's a reason to do it. Right. Just like, it's not mommy saying do it, although sometimes I feel like mommy. It's not mommy saying do it just because mommy says to do it. Yeah. It's the process.
Absolutely.
And we can point to that campaign guide. Is it downloadable? Is it just on the screen?
It's on the site. The playbook is 100% downloadable. And that's the tool that you need to really map everything out. Your campaign page is going to be driven directly off of that playbook. So that can be downloaded directly from ifundwomen.com on the campaign guide tab. And Leah, I think you're reading from the same book we are. We talk a lot about the myths of crowdfunding, and number one is that magical money elves exist, right? I'm going to put up a web page. People are going to find
it. They're right there with the fairy godmother.
They're just sprinkling all of those dollar bills, and that's not how it works. It's an absolute effort on all fronts, and what we hear from entrepreneurs every day is it is worth it in ways they never even imagined. They're coming out of this process with a renewed focus on what it is about their business that they are most committed to. They have feedback on their products and services. They have new connections because they've suddenly been out working all of their networks in ways that they never really gave themselves permission to do before. And it all of that on top of having capital. So it's the risk that you need to take because it's such a worthwhile endeavor.
Well, and it's testing the waters with your concept, with your message, with that tagline, with the segment of the audience that you think is going to respond. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with clients that you tag this and you thought, well, it's going to be this group over here and it's going to be male and they're going to be 45 to 60. And the next thing you know, it's females 25 to 35. They're the ones that are putting the money in because they get it. This is
absolutely.
And that market validation, long before you do the $50,000 of traditional marketing, you can get it in the crowdfunding with your time, with your effort, with some guidance and mm-hmm. services and things to help you through that, or walking yourself through the campaign guide.
Right.
And so that's on ifundwomen.com campaign guide. So go under that and you can find a downloadable link.
And I think what we see is people get very, people take very different approaches to their reward strategy. That's obviously a key part of campaign development. We see some people leverage it for that market feedback to understand, how am I going to connect with these different segments of my customer base? We also have entrepreneurs that have a diverse range of skills, and they may say, you know, my campaign is to promote my skincare line, but my side skill set is in social media marketing, and so I'm going to monetize my side hustle to launch this campaign and put that as a perk. So I'm being smart about how I go to market and monetize the campaign.
Well, and one of the things I think we forget to do, and I was talking with a client that's a marketing firm, and I was talking with them. I said, when I go to your website, you're not doing the things on your website that you sell as a service to your customers. It's like, and they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're listing off all of these things you do for your customers. They're not going to see that there mm-hmm. because you're not doing it for yourself.
Right.
And there are things that we can do for ourselves. There's other things that we're not going to do for ourselves. And sometimes you're not the one to do the video. So like when we're doing the veterans events and doing fundraising for those, having the veteran speak about the need is much more powerful than the person with the idea or starting the nonprofit, because the veteran's going to say, when I came home, I needed X.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a woman veteran said, when I park in a veteran's parking spot, and someone comes up to me and says, you can't park there, you're not a veteran. It's like, yes, I served. You know, it's those kind of, that's a powerful message to say when we're doing this kind of campaign and we want it funded, what are the issues? And we're speaking to those issues. And sometimes it's us.
Yeah.
It's those of us who are starting. We had the problem, a lady was in the studio earlier. She has a product and service now that she does because when she needed that, it wasn't there. And so she's built it, and now that's her business. And mm-hmm. so, you know, when we're talking about that. And so when you're going through that, this is the place. This is the format. If it's $3,000 just to see what's going on, it's $30,000. If it's $6,000 okay. for the Birds and the Bees film, if you're 12 or if you're, 112.
Right. Right. It's interesting. I mean, when it comes to funding, it doesn't have to be a huge dollar amount to get started. And that's something that we work with when we do the coaching to understand, okay, how much capital is going to make a difference? You may want to raise $20,000. If you can get to five, what does that do for your business?
Right.
And then we work with entrepreneurs to set their goals at that so that it can be a smart campaign, so that every day, if they've got a five-week campaign and a $1,000 goal, they're working towards that goal and seeing themselves pace ahead of it rather than having, a higher goal and feeling like it's a struggle. So
right.
We want to see everyone be really successful. We offer as well an accelerator pool for entrepreneurs on the site. So I mentioned mentioned that we pay forward a percent of our fees. So for entrepreneurs that, you know, come from lower income FFFs, we call them friends, family, and followers, we actually offer this within our local cohorts, and that's on the site as well under under Things to Know.
Yeah, and Bindi, I know you're going to have to scoot out here. We were only having Bindi for the first half hour of the show today because her schedule is just so full. If there's one thing you want to share before you just get off the air, what's that one thing you want everybody to know about iFund Women?
Well, I think that it's a great opportunity for our community to come out and support women-led businesses, women-led dreams, women in our community. And I encourage everybody to get out there and look at things. Go to iFund Women, search birds in bees, and look at a cute 12-year-old.
and we're gonna do that. And Bindi, thanks for connecting us with iFund Women.
Thanks for having me.
For being on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a fun process, and I have clients that are, you know, the 10-year-old client that we connect with at an entrepreneurship event, or the grandma, and she's been wanting to come on the show, and her schedule's crazy too. But we have this challenge that when we have Springboard Enterprises, mm-hmm. which is doing, you know, the startup funding for women, and they've been in the area and they've done things and we've had programs, but there's still a disconnect in our own mindsets a lot of time as women entrepreneurs, that almost a fear of validation sometimes, or are we going to ask for too much, or what are they going to think about the fact when we're asking for $100,000? So how in that process can we work with your team to overcome those kind of self-placed obstacles during the process? So what kind of paid services are there, and how do we decide when to use those?
Sure. So we do coaching packages. It's you know, a 3-hour block of time, and we see people use it in a variety of different ways. Some people say, you know what, I've got this coach's playbook downloaded, I've filled it all out, I'm ready to go, can you give me feedback on it? And then we spend a lot of time talking through, you know, how are you going to go to market? What's your communication strategy and plan look like? Other people really want to focus on the rewards piece of it and negotiating how the different elements of the campaign will come together. Mm-hmm. But I think your point on a confidence gap is really important. And we recognize it takes a lot of courage to start a new business, to put that idea out in the world. And so many times we'll have conversations with entrepreneurs who say, you know, I'm just sort of waiting for that nudge and that push. And what we see is these local cohorts really help give women the confidence to get out there, because they look around and they see their peers doing it. They see other entrepreneurs who look like them and are around the corner, and they say, well, if they can do it, I want to be a part of it. And we really believe in the power of creating these focused, localized efforts where the community can come out, partners can come out and support the effort of these organizations to really get their campaign goals met. And we've been very fortunate in the Triangle. We have partners like Red Hat and Pendo and HQ Raleigh who have done incredible work to connect us to entrepreneurs in the region and to help us get the word out. And so as a result, we've been incredibly excited to see, you know, the diverse mix of skill set, experience, industry, expertise of the entrepreneurs coming onto the page. And we could not be more fired up about getting them all launched. We're having campaigns come on every day. And it's, as a local Chapel Hill resident, it's really gratifying to see the mix of businesses.
So give me some examples of the ones that are here locally, and then just some of the more interesting ones that are coming from all over.
Absolutely. So we have the first ever of its kind maternity fitness line, Tribe Maternity, that is live on the site now. This is a woman out of Raleigh, and it is for, you know, women who are pregnant who want to keep up their workout. There really isn't a line that meets those needs, and she, as an athlete and mom, set out and designed and launched this business and is incredibly fired up about her campaign. So we're really excited. She's got some incredible rewards on the site right now, and you can find that by searching Tribe Maternity. We have a woman, Vivian Ellis, out of Raleigh as well, a Dera Nail Salon for women and men alike who need an advanced level of care when it comes to their nail treatment because of health conditions like diabetes or cancer. She has an unbelievable amount of expertise, and she wrote the playbook in how to pre-market your campaign. She went live last week week, and she has been out there every day talking to everyone she knows through social and in real life about this campaign ahead of when it launched, so that when it launched, she had, you know, an army of people revved up and excited to support her. We also are so excited to have Dr. Sandra K. Johnson coming onto the site very soon. She's a former IBM executive and one of the first African-American women to earn a PhD in electrical engineering in the United States. And so we're incredibly excited to welcome her engineering firm to the site as well. And we also have a married couple. We love mixed-gendered founding teams. We welcome men and women together. And we have Hal and Shannon Atkins at Campana, which is offering aftercare for pets. Their service and their technology is a much more environmentally friendly process of taking care of your pets and after they have passed. And so it's a wide mix. We've got Adora Therapy, they're a scent, a perfume and scent company that's also in North Carolina. It's just a huge range of businesses and skill sets and disciplines.
Well, and that's the exciting thing. When you go to a platform, whether, you know, traditionally Faith Launcher being Christian faith-based businesses and organizations mm-hmm. going there, or we went to GoFundMe and it's individuals and nonprofits putting their stories out here. The thread here for your all site, although you will have couples and things on it, but it's primarily that this is women appealing to women and men. But, you know, the women's network, once we get the word out, mm-hmm. It spreads in a different way. It's about the relationships. It's about the message. It's about the emotion. Mm-hmm. And I think we, as women, tend in that confidence gap, in the money gap, and all of those types of aspects, we try to take that emotion out. And that's one of our mistakes in our campaign, because people spend their money with their emotions. People commit because they care about somebody that needs the nail care service,
yes.
because they have cancer or diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis or whatever mm-hmm. the condition is. They care about aromatherapy because they know the impact it has in their lives. There's just all of these things. People love their pets. No, I mean, and so when we're looking at that broad spectrum, we see where the heart of the woman entrepreneur is, and yes. we don't want to lose that heart when we're raising funds. Yes, we still have to be logical, we still have to be committed, we still have to, mm-hmm. but that heart, that passion is what's going to translate into a successful campaign.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really important to understand the funding gap for female entrepreneurs. I mean, when it comes to venture capital, we're receiving between 2% and 6% of those dollars. For women of color, it's 0.02%. It's non-existent. That's nothing. When you look at the other side and it comes to, you know, bank loans, 92% of startups fail. It's a reality to be aware of. It's nothing to be ashamed
98%
of.
98% of restaurants fail that are startups, so it's even worse
right.
there. So.
And yet women are you know, starting businesses with half as much working capital as men, and yet we know that when they go on to be successful, they hire at a greater rate. And so we really believe this path of crowdfunding is a vehicle that allows female entrepreneurs to retain control and independence while getting capital to launch and grow. And that's something to be really proud of. It's not something to, you know, shy away from. So you want to bring your whole self into that campaign. You want to use the emotion, that passion that drove you to start your business and make that leap and not be afraid to put yourself out there and get feedback. We always say it's better to be in the ring than in the stands.
Well, and I think, you know, we're not afraid of starting businesses and the risk of it's going to fail. So what if it fails? It hurts for a little while. Most people are too busy in their lives to even pay attention to the fact that you failed. And I know when I started my business 15 years ago now, people are like, well, what happens if it doesn't work? I was like, then I'll go get a job or I'll start something else. Or, I mean, it's just, you're yes. going to fail at something. You learn great lessons. So if your first crowdfunding initiative doesn't work, you learn something. You retool, you revamp, you shift your focus, you look
yes.
at a new segment,
and
a new message. And it's your time. It's whatever services you invest in. It's mm-hmm. the platform cost. But that is a low-cost way to validate
100%.
Your concept.
Yes. Yeah. And the fees, when you think about the fees for a crowdfunding campaign, they come out on the back end. So you're not going to get saddled with a big bill at the other side of this. This is a close to no risk proposition when it comes to getting the word out for your business. So we would encourage everyone to apply for this Triangle cohort, because the opportunity to be surrounded by a creative and collaborative and supportive environment of female entrepreneurs is a very, very special thing. And we have seen powerful things happen when we bring those women together.
Well, and let's talk about the fees a little bit, because people are probably thinking these are six-figure fees. They're not five-figure fees. I'm looking at the website. So kind of explain the fee structure, the options, mm-hmm. and for the coaching services too.
Sure. So we take a standard 5% crowdfunding fee. What that means is if you get a $100 contribution for your company, it comes in. Our payment processor takes a fee of about 3.5%. iFund Women takes a 5% fee, and you get basically $92. It all happens simultaneously. You don't have to do anything other than connect to our processor. We then pay forward a percentage. We take 20% of our standard profits from standard fees and pay them forward into campaigns on the site.
And that is your 5% that you're taking.
Correct.
Has nothing to do with the processor's fees.
No.
So out of the 5%, that $5 you took, mm-hmm. you're going to turn around and put a dollar to something else.
Correct. Yes. And then when we offer coaching and video production services for the Triangle for a very short window of time, there are some unique packages that we've put together that are on the site that look at the upfront fees for both of those.
Well, and so again, give them how to get to the Triangle site. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it's beta.ifundwomen.com/Raleigh.
And so when we enter that, so that's beta.ifundwomen.com, and we just type in Raleigh after that?
Yes, just /Raleigh, and you'll see at the bottom there's an Apply Now link. Application process is very straightforward. I will personally respond to you within 24 hours of getting your application, probably much, much faster than that. And you can see the different crowdfunding packages. We do video production services as a standalone. We do coaching as a standalone. And then really what you want to do is to maximize your values, bundle them together. And that way you're getting a whole integrated approach to campaign design and execution.
So when they land on that page, are they going to see a link to the campaign guide, or how
it
do they
should
get
be
to
in the top nav? So okay. The top nav, it's a persistent part of the website, is campaign guide. That is right there front and center for everyone to take a look at.
Well, and we want to make sure everyone takes advantage of this opportunity, because this is new here.
Yes.
The women out there that are entrepreneurs, whether you're a scientist in the university, academic, thinking I might want to do this, you're the 12-year-old entrepreneur, you've got cookies, mm-hmm. you've got a movie, you've got a book,
yes,
whatever it is, you're an artist. It's that whole gamut. Don't think, well, mine won't work.
Absolutely.
Ask the question. Contact you guys. Go to the website. Read the campaign guide.
Yes.
Look at the success stories. Look at the other projects that are on there and say, why not?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do it.
We want everyone to do this. We want to put together the most robust showcase of female-led companies in the Triangle. We're building that one-stop shop, that digital extension of all of these incredible businesses in this one vibrant region known for innovation and technology and entrepreneurship. Companies do not want to miss out on this opportunity.
And so typically, how long, if let's say I have the idea today, mm-hmm. and we know there's going to be a 4-week funding window at some point. What's the typical timeline of how long it's been taking mm-hmm. your clients to get prepared from the first time they click on there, say, okay, wait a minute, I want to do this, and walk through that process mm-hmm. to the amount of time typically?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have kind of all the time in the world to plan your campaign, you might take kind of 2 to 3 months of pre-preparation, right?
Pre-campaign
planning, get the word out. We had a company, Satnam Babe, that for 6 months before they launched, they were saying, I'm going to go to market with my crowdfunding campaign. This is how I'm going to launch my business. Get excited, right. Get ready. I'm counting on your support. All of those things. You want to galvanize the people around you. We've seen people do that in a matter of 2 weeks as well. So it really comes down to the individual entrepreneur's ability to mobilize quickly and get the word out often. It's not enough to just say at one time, like, hey, could you support my campaign, and expect that everyone is going to just drop what they're doing because they saw a Facebook post and fund your campaign. You have to be out there throughout the life of the campaign, as well as in the upfront, that critical upfront period to message it. For the Triangle specifically, to be a part of our page launch, which is September 19th, we want all of the campaign pages completed by September 12th. So that gives people more than enough time.
About 3 weeks
to mobilize. You fill out that coach's playbook, you set a timer, give yourself an hour, get on the phone with us, we power through it. If you want us to do your video or you do it yourself, it's a 2.5-minute video pitch of your story, and you're going to have that pitch down for the campaign, so it's not like you're creating a reusable piece of marketing collateral in terms of how you tell your story.
Right.
And we think that's more than enough time for people to get going. We've got our initial cohort, going live with their individual campaigns every day, and the dedicated page September 19th.
And so that means on the when you go to the ifundwomen.com website, there's a drop-down menu for Discover. Right now, Nashville is at the bottom of there. There'll be a Raleigh page on September 19th, and somebody can go out, click on that, and then you'll see all the campaigns for Raleigh.
Exactly, and that will continue. So for Nashville, we launched this spring, and we had an enormous turnout there of companies. We continue to see new campaigns come on every day. So the benefit is your campaign will be listed in the category it belongs, technology, apps, lifestyle, business services, and then you'll also be on that local page. And you think, like, how exciting as a member of such a vibrant community to be able to go online and find one dedicated single spot where I can see all of these unbelievable female entrepreneurs and support their efforts. And the rewards are incredible. I mean, the perks that they're offering, these are things that we should all be excited about. You know, for the woman that wants, you know, maternity workout clothes, to, the Medi Nail service, to supporting the female creative economy in the region. Like, these are businesses we can and should all be getting behind.
Well, so, and when I pulled up the page just a little while ago, landed on the first page, there's non-dairy butter alternative. Yes. I mean, it's like, and so you click on that, there's Tickleberry Place, an indoor playground, play space. There's media, there's all kinds of fun things, there's mm-hmm. language things, there's all of these things that you think, wow, I wish I'd thought of that, right?
Right.
I was like, and then you can, I mean, you're not having to put huge amounts of money in to support these campaigns.
Exactly.
And you can reach out to them, right? You can ask them questions. That's that peer-to-peer.
It's that storytelling process. You can connect with the entrepreneur directly. You can ask questions. You can understand how they're thinking about going to business, into market. And it's a really exciting thing to get a look behind the scenes at how a product comes to market.
Well, and it's gender-specific from the standpoint of the people that are the entrepreneurs coming in for this, the nonprofit, the for-profit, but the products are not necessarily women only.
Correct.
So yes. you can get your husband to go to the site. You can get your boyfriend to go to the site. Your son might see something. And so we need to think of this as women supporting women peer-to-peer, mm-hmm. closing this gap, but also that we are the women that are putting the products in the marketplace that make the difference in male and female lives.
100%. We love our male funders. We love our male co-founders. We love our mixed gendered teams. This is not a women's site, right?
Right.
This is for everyone. The products and the companies and the segments that they serve are not gender specific. So we would encourage everyone to come and support these businesses.
So, and the nonprofits are falling under the social good category. Is that mm-hmm. where they're going?
Okay. Yes.
So it's just for everyone listening, because we get a nice mix around the country of a for-profit and nonprofit startup, you know, well-established, yeah. people trying to redo their identity. And again, if you think you're going to take, your business has been around 30 years, you need to retool and revamp, this is a place to look at and say, well, if I start offering this product mm-hmm. or I do this, this is a good test market to get there, to get a little bit yeah. of funding to do it. And again, is there a cap on how much funding you can go after?
There's not. No, there's no cap. And really, we tell people, think about it. You know, if you have a restaurant, you have the choice of two restaurants. You have a crowded restaurant and an empty restaurant. Like, you're going to go to the crowded restaurant. You want to think through the psychology of how you manage that campaign. So you can set a conservative goal and blow past it. You know, that creates that curiosity of, like, what is this person doing? Look at how well funded and supported they are. They must really have hit on something. And what people don't always think about is crowdfunding as a critical step in your funding journey, to be able to go to an investor, if that's your plan and your path to market, with that success behind you, to be able to say, I went out, I proved the market, you can see my grit as an entrepreneur and where I've demonstrated my skills in identifying this market and raising capital myself, so that when you're ready to ask for that VC round, or you're going to the bank and taking that
or
next
you're
going to
do regulation crowdfunding
or you're going to do regulation crowdfunding,
you've had some experience, you know what it takes on
exactly.
a smaller scale on non-regulation, and a lot of the lessons translate to the regulation side. Yeah, you got to deal with all the rules and the restrictions, intrastate or interstate, but the marketing, getting your audience, honing that message, getting the video, the pre-campaign, how you're going to manage during the campaign, mm-hmm. all of those steps and those processes, now you're taking the training wheels off.
Mm-hmm.
You've already done it. You've had success. You have that confidence you've built in having that success. Now you can take it to the next level.
Exactly.
So what are the biggest aha moments that you've seen with the clients coming in and when they did this? During the process, mm-hmm. during the planning stage, and then after they've successfully raised funds? And has everyone successfully raised their target?
Got it. So, you know, it's interesting when you think about the kind of aha moments. I think that idea that it has to be perfect is really, we see that as like a universal thing, and we try and really help people just get over that barrier and have the courage to launch. And our Slack community is a great place for people to come together to kind of share that, like, oh, I think I'm ready, but I'm not entirely sure. And so one of the big ahas for us was when we put together our Founders Club, which is for people who say, you know what, I really want a supportive entrepreneur network. I'm not yet ready to crowdfund, but I you know, want to have people I can reach out to and learn from as I'm getting comfortable with that process. And so we created that as well, and we have a Founders Club membership where people can sign up and be in our Slack network and receive an hour of coaching for free. And so we're very proud of that. We want to create this thriving, supportive
peer-to-peer
network.
Peer-to-peer support.
Yes, exactly. Because entrepreneurship can be lonely. I mean, it's a very tough road. We want to make sure that
And that's the challenge. Like, if you're a solo entrepreneur, you're just mm-hmm. getting started, you're doing this all on your own, you could tap into somebody that's participating in that group, that's been there, that's done that, or somebody that's wanting to learn and says, hey, wait a minute, let me help with that mm-hmm. because I'm good at website, or I'm good at this, and I'm going to do this at some point, and you can turn around and help me.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yes. The other big aha for us, I think, is the campaign is such an incredible forcing function to get everything lined up. And we see people come in and say, you know, I'm not entirely sure how to do this. And then, just like Benji said, they'll use the campaign guide and the coach's playbook, and they put it together, and they're more... They're further along than they realize. And so for us, the coaching becomes about getting people, you know, just to have that confidence in taking that extra step, in making that bigger ask. We always talk to people who say, you know, what if I ask someone for support and they say no? And we want them to be prepared with, what if they say yes? When they say yes, you need to lean into that ask. We're not always great at asking for help and support. And crowdfunding, you have to put yourself out there.
Well,
to do that.
And with the clients, I'm always saying, well, if they tell you no, ask them why it's no, so you can learn from that.
Absolutely.
Get some information from it. What didn't you say? What wasn't there? You know, maybe they just weren't the market. Then you can always ask us, like, do you know somebody that is the market?
Right, 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 exactly.
I mean, it's a no isn't death.
Right. it's not a closed door.
Right.
It's an opportunity to learn. And that's the people who go into a crowdfunding campaign with that mindset of, I'm going to learn, this is all positive, those are the ones set up for success. And I think when it comes to, you know, having to just educate the market and really raise awareness of how to do crowdfunding, that's a lot of what it is. It's just knowing how to go to market smartly, how to hone your pitch, tell your story, lean in and ask for support, and be comfortable putting out there something that may not be perfect, because to your point, it's never going to be perfect. You have to pull the trigger. You have to kind of make that leap.
Well, and the things that the message needs to be strong, it needs to be clear, you need to be able to connect. And then, so what if your hair's sticking out? I mean, it's just, you know, so what? Right. Maybe you had an Albert Einstein day, and it just go with it. Because it's like, you know, I don't know how many times that we get hung up on how we look on video, or how we sound, or whatever. And I don't, doing the radio show, so many guests come in, what if I sound funny? It's like, it's radio. You know, if it's the podcast, I could probably play with it a little bit. But
right.
No one is standing there thinking, unless you sound like, you know, some really high-pitched voice or really low, or you're completely monotone. People are not hung up on the same things that you're going to focus on about yourself.
Yes, exactly.
And so people want to be supportive.
Right.
People want to be enthusiastic. They want to have a reason to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to give them that when we're doing it. We have to not get in our own way.
Right.
Absolutely. By saying, oh, but it's not perfect. Well, I didn't like that top I had on. Well, okay, no one else is going to care.
Right, move
it's
on.
Not about your top.
You're an entrepreneur. You don't right. have the time to worry about these things. You just got to keep moving and building positive momentum.
Well, and I think a lot of times we focus on those things because to some extent those are controllable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you're going to put your child out there and somebody's going to tell you the baby's ugly. Right?
Right.
And so it's just, it's like you can take, you know, you're going to focus on the things saying, this is what I'm really afraid of. No, it's this over here.
Right.
And so what if they do tell you the baby's ugly?
It's fine. It's,
you know. A lot of people like ugly babies.
They do. A lot of, and I think there's something to be said for just that mentorship and that encouragement that comes from a community that has been there and done that. And our team has done that. And so we've been a part of the crowdfunding experience. We understand what it takes. Giving yourself permission to kind of go out there and take those risks isn't easy, but it's absolutely vital. And every single day we talk to entrepreneurs who tell us, like, this made such a difference in my business and gave me greater confidence, access to capital, all connections that I had kind of let lay dormant. So there's the opportunity is so great to take this chance to be a part of this cohort.
So they need to go to ifundwomen.com.
It's going to be beta.ifundwomen.com/Raleigh to apply.
And that they can apply, start the process, start having a conversation with you all, and look around the website, find that playbook, look at the campaign guide, look at the success stories, mm-hmm. the lessons, and just dig in.
Absolutely. The blog has incredible tips on how to tell your pitch, how to make your pitch stronger. The campaign guide is your first stop. Go there and check out how to plan things out, download the playbook, and then apply. It takes 2 minutes.
And then start your pre-campaign, start getting ready, start thinking about it, and just start doing it.
Yes. Build up the momentum, get people excited, bring them into the experience, let them know, you know, why you're doing this and what the funding is going to mean for your business, and allow them to be a part of your journey.
Well, thank you for being on the show. That's ifundwomen.com. Get involved, visit the website, beta.ifundwomen.com/Raleigh. Mm-hmm. Sign up. And thank you for being on the show. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.